Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's another great day in Chicago. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for archiving this show. Believe me, it's been something. August 2015, this month, marks the my first anniversary of the show. I've been on the show on an entire year. I believe this is the 119th or 20th episode, something like that. I've done 120, probably more than that. But it's fun. I enjoy it. And thank you for being here. You make it possible. You make me want to keep doing this because, you know, I don't feel like I'm wasting my time, okay? I don't feel like I should be ending the program anytime soon because of you. You're listening. You're downloading. You're archiving. And that's motivational for me. And I really do appreciate it. I truly do. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. I almost forgot my thought. George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is such a beautiful day. It's gray, but it's beautiful. And it's nice. It's 77 degrees, according to my computer here. And it's 6:01 straight up Chicago time. Or is it maybe a couple of minutes fast or slow or whatever? 6:03 straight up Chicago time, okay? And thank you to my guest yesterday, the incomparable, if I can say it, Sabrina Williams. She was great. If you haven't heard her, heard the show, archive it. It's on my website. You can download it, archive it, listen to it. It was beautiful. It was a blast, like I've said before. Okay, let's get right into it. So this is maybe the fifth week or either 5.5 weeks that Illinois has been without a budget. A budget means simply that you can't spend money because it's something to do with the Illinois Constitution. But anyway, you cannot spend money. And if there is money being spent in the state of Illinois, it's because Rauner can't get to it. I mean, he cannot get to it to rip it apart. To take it, to cut it, to eliminate it, because some programs they're here by law, federal law, and Rauner is not federal law. Okay, he has nothing to do with the federal government. It's state government that he's a part of. So some of these programs have to be ran, and some programs are running now because of federal judges, their input. They were incorporated into this. If it was Rauner, we'd all be starving to death. Everybody, middle class, working people. I mean, everybody would be starving to death if it was up to this guy. If you're not rich, you'd be starving to death. Put it that way. And this guy is something else. He doesn't know anything. Emanuel have alluded to that. The mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, he has alluded to that. Mike Madigan. He also has alluded to that. Cullerton. I mean, these guys are in the legislature. They have all alluded to that. And even the grassroots citizens have jumped on Rauner for his, you know, wanting to turn this state upside down, twist it inside out because he's a Republican and he doesn't like to see people go to the hospital. You know, he doesn't give a damn if you're working or not working. He's going to try his best to make life as difficult as he can. He knows nothing about the government. He knows nothing how. I'm thinking the guy doesn't even know how to do his job. He's not doing his job. He's sitting back, blaming other people, finger pointing. He's calling names, but he's not doing his job. He's trying to blame others in the legislature, other politicians, for him not doing his job. Other people are stopping him from doing his job. That's what he's trying to say, and that's what he's, you know, talking about in the media. You know, and he's a bully. He's trying to bully his way into making this state one of the worst states in the United States, and that's not going to happen. This is a Democratic. He's a Republican. He can't come into the state and bulldog his way and lie his way and name call his way in order to get things done his way. He's talking about a turnaround agenda. We know what that is. That's busting unions. That's making life difficult for the middle class and the poor, the people who are out here struggling each and every day to put food on the table and to pay their rent. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't give a damn about the seniors. He doesn't give a damn about the disabled, the mentally ill. He doesn't give a damn if you're working or not. He doesn't care. He's a billionaire or a multimillionaire. Whatever it is, he's on the side of the rich. He's on the side of big business, big businesses, and big businesses, they're corporations. Okay? Corporations, businesses that do not pay taxes, billionaires and millionaires who are scurrying not to pay taxes, whereas somebody who's working at McDonald's is paying more taxes than Rauner or his billionaire friends. If you're working at McDonald's or you're working at Mariano's or wherever you're working at or making pizzas, you're paying more taxes than that billionaire or those billionaires over there, because they send their money overseas where there's no taxes to try to hide it from the U.S. and their taxes. So if you're working, you're paying more taxes than Donald Trump. If you're making $10 an hour, $7 an hour, $8 an hour, you're paying more taxes than that billionaire or that millionaire is. All right, here we go. This guy has no business being governor of Illinois. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't know how to govern. He's not doing his job. I mean, when you don't do your job, I mean, if you're working for a company and you're not doing your job, the first thing they're going to do is call your ass into the office and give you a few warnings. And after that, you don't do your job, you're fired. You're thrown out of there. Why can't we do this to this guy? Because he's not doing his job. He's only thing he's doing is, like I said before, the only thing Rauner is doing, Governor Bruce Rauner of Illinois, the only thing he is doing is name-calling, blaming people, pointing his fingers, and telling us, the people of Illinois, that other people in the legislature, other politicians, are stopping him from doing his job. That's crazy. The man is not doing his job. He's signing a lot of things, but he's not doing the number one priority, and that's getting this state a budget, because he wants to destroy this state. After it's destroyed, then he's going to sign a budget. After he gets to go ahead to destroy the state, then he's going to sign a budget after everybody has been, everything has been taken away. But still in all, without a budget, some programs, some social programs that are affecting vulnerable people have been shut. They are now closed. Some are closing because they can't carry on without funding, and without a budget, funding just kind of just dry up. You know, it just runs out. You know, I mean, there have been two or three budgets that the legislature has placed on Rauner's desk, but he refused to sign them. He's saying that they were out of balance. And the legislature is saying that a lot of things that Rauner sends them is out of balance. So there's a disagreement. There's no compromise. But we know that it's this governor. And believe me, he has the ear of other governors. He has the ear of other billionaires and millionaires. And they're telling Rauner to hang in there. Well, he can hang in there all he wants. He can listen to his buddies all he wants. This is the state of Illinois. You don't come in here and try to turn it upside down because you don't like to see people go to the doctor or the hospital. You don't like to see people dropping off their kids at a daycare center. You want to cut. You don't like to see hospitals taking care of people with gunshot wounds every single night. The bottom line, the guy is not doing his job, period. It's not happening. Because if he was doing his job, there would be a budget here. There would be some kind of compromises. But there's nothing. There's nothing. You barely hear from Rauner. I mean, you barely see this guy. He doesn't like talking to the press. He doesn't like to give question and answers conferences so you can find out where his head is. We know where his head is. His head is up his millionaires and billionaires' buddies. But you can't do that. You can't do that. Whatever condition this state is in, it falls solely on the governor. He is the governor. He cannot blame Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago. He cannot blame Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the House in Illinois. He is the governor. It's going to fall on him. If he doesn't know that, then he should not be governor. He cannot govern. He doesn't like to compromise. It's his way or no way. That's the way he is. And he's a mean, ornery, heartless guy. Oh, yes, sometimes he'll walk around. You can see him on television or in videos. He looks like the most compassionate guy. He looks like the most caring person. He can fool you. He's fooling you and everybody else. But once he gets behind closed doors, wow. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you're talking about that kind of a thing. And I guess one of the reasons why I'm talking about this, and one of the reasons why so many others in this state and outside of the state is talking about this, because we don't want to see fall. And it's falling. It really is. It's falling because, you know, I mean, how long can you go without a budget? I didn't think it would last this long. I really didn't. But I saw the way Rauner is, and I'm saying, yeah, it's going to be gridlock. And I was hoping that the Democrats didn't give in to this guy and didn't fall for a lot of the garbage he says, because it's a lot of it is garbage. Because all he wants is to get his mitt on this state. He wants power. And he's pissed off that Rahm Emanuel, the Illinois legislature, will not give him power, enough power, so he can be God Almighty, King Almighty over Illinois. It ain't gonna happen. You're a politician. You never ran office before. He's a typical Republican. You know, screw poor people. Take from the poor and give to the rich. You know, reverse Robin Hood kind of a thing. And it's just not going to happen in the state of Illinois. It's not. I mean, he's going to I hope they – I don't like to see the state without a budget. I think that's really, really detrimental. And it has already cost a lot of people their jobs, and a lot of the social programs have ended or they are ending. And that's a shame. That's a shame for someone to come in, and he he talks and he acts like the state of Illinois is in the worst shape of any state in the union. And that's not true. If you think about it, it might be true because he is now the governor and he has made this state what it is. Of course, the state was probably out of balance, but you don't do it that way. There's plenty of ways to get the money that he may need to put the to balance the budget of this state and the city without hurting the vulnerable, without hurting the poor. Why is it that every time these cities, these states, they get in trouble, their budgets are out of balance, they go to the poor? Why is that? I don't understand it. Even in the federal government, they're talking about cutting food stamps. They're talking about cutting or eliminating Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Why is this? And these things have nothing to do with the budget. None of this money is coming out of their pockets. They just do not like people. They don't give a shit about America. Sorry for my French, but that's just the way it is, you know, and it's true. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As you can probably tell, I get kind of passionate sometimes. I do, because I live in Illinois. This is my state. This is my home. And I hate to see someone come in, knows nothing about nothing, and try to tell us what's right and what's wrong. Why should we listen to someone like this when all this person is doing is blaming other people, lying, twisting the facts, spinning, and hopes to get somebody out there to agree with those lies? Remember, this is a Republican. You know, I've said many times, I mean, when he was campaigning with his wife was saying things like she was a Democrat. Where is she? I mean, he's cutting all these Democratic social programs. Where is she? Why isn't she saying something about all these devastating cuts that are hurting people? And basically, Democrats try to, you know, give people a hand up, not a hand out. And I can't understand. She was saying, I'm a Democrat. I haven't seen her since. Her husband then took hold of the state and turned it upside down. And he's going to keep it that way because he wants everybody to try to figure out how tough he is, you know, but people aren't buying it. We know that he's a bully. There's so many people who are suing this guy. I mean, there's so many. He's got lawsuits up his kazoo. That's why some of the programs are still functioning, and the state is still kind of functioning. People are still going about their businesses. They're still working, going to their jobs, and doing what they have to do. The state is not completely shut down, but there is no budget. So some people are saying it is shut down. Some people are saying it's not shut down, but it's all the way you look at it. I'm saying that it's shut down because as long as there's no budget, actually there's nothing is supposed to be working. And the only reason why state workers are being paid because, you know, they took this guy to court. And then when they took him to court, he says that he wants people to get paid. If you want people to get paid and the state to be viable, then why don't you sign a budget? You're just lying because you really do not, because you don't care. He can't govern. He has never, ever held a political office in his life. He had a few businesses, and he had trouble with those. There's court records, court documents saying this. And how in the hell does he think he's going to come into a state like this, not knowing nothing about nothing, and then hurting people, because that's what Republicans do. That's what they do. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Okay, I'm gonna have a little clip from Chef Timothy Moore. It's a great clip on diabetes. I mean, I've done shows before on diabetes, and I'm gonna keep on doing them because there's so many people out there that are suffering with this disease. It is, but I've heard so many doctors say that it can be reversed, you know. And that's what I want people to know. If you have it, you can reverse it. Slow it down or not have it, or it doesn't have to be so prevalent. So, you know, it is a problem with Americans. And it comes with obesity. It comes with being overweight. But I've heard so many times that you fight diabetes. You fight it with food. I mean, when I first heard that, I said, whoa, because food is the culprit. Food is the culprit. Food is what causes you to become overweight. Food causes obesity and diabetes, and food can reverse it and eliminate it. But there's one catch, certain kinds of food. I mean, you know, you have to eat right. But there are so many doctors that say, well, you can eat anything you want. You get doctors saying you can eat anything you want. Pizza, hamburger, donuts, bread, biscuits. But you have to eat them in moderation. You can't just dog out. You have to eat in moderation, you know, or either just stop eating meat altogether. Some people say stop eating meat, but a lot of professionals out there say keep eating meat. Just do not eat lean meat, especially chicken, because chicken is very good. It's filled with a lot of protein. Chicken, vegetables, fruit, it's what you eat that makes you sick. You know, cancer is what you eat. It's all what you eat. Cancer, stroke, heart attacks. It's what you eat. And it's being active. And also, eat less and be plenty active. You want to live to be 100. Maybe. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show. I'll have that clip later on in the show, Fight Diabetes with Food. And that's what you do. You fight this disease with food, and you get your life back. You know, I mean, diabetes, what do you do? It affects your eyes. It affects your feet, your hands, your limbs, your extremities. You know, it does. I mean, you feel like you just, feel like you're riding in a roller coaster or something. But you have to, you can live with it. There's thousands of people, millions of people actually, living with diabetes. And there's so many people who have succumbed to the disease. And it's just something that you feel like you just, you know, just should do. Diabetes. I mean, when I learned about diabetes, I didn't know that so many people had it and that so many people were walking around that didn't even know they had it. And then there are some people walking around with symptoms of diabetes. They know they have something, but they don't really know what it is because they have not gone to the doctor, you know. So we're going to get into that later on in the show. I'm going to play this clip, and it is just, this guy is just mesmerizing. His name is Chef Timothy Moore, and he talks about diabetes and the right kinds of foods. And he just talks about how he first learned that he had it. And, you know, so I'm going to let you listen for yourself. So it'll be about in the next, maybe in the next hour or less, put it that way. Okay, all right. Do we have a smart quiz question? I don't have anything on the screen. Let me see if I have something written down. Okay. I'm going to look for that. I'm going to take a break right here, and when I come back, I'm going to try and find that smart quiz question. If not, we'll just proceed on with the show. All right, here we go. Thank you. Thank you for staying with me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, it says, okay, all right. In the future, I have some shows I'm going to do. Write that book, Age Busters, smile, laugh, and have fun. Read a good book. I think I've done something on that. I read a good book. I think it was 2 or 3 days ago. And it's up there. I think the show's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, here we go. Okay. Frank Gifford, Pro Football Hall of Fame, dies at 84. I remember he was a football player. He used to do the Monday Night Football games. He was 84 years old. And bless him and bless his family. And I was surprised and shocked when he died because he used to be up there with O.J. Simpson and a lot of these guys. Dick Buckus, what's the other guy's name? And come to think of it, the football season is just around the corner. So Frank Gifford, Pro Football Hall of Famer, dies at 84 years old. Yeah, he had a long run of it. Okay, let's go to FBI joint investigation on unarmed college athlete shot dead by police. I mean, that is something. This stuff keeps going and keeps going and keep happening and keep occurring. A police officer shoots an unarmed black student, a prominent black student, a football player, college football player. The guy was going somewhere. It seemed like everybody who dies, black Americans, young black Americans, it's always the ones with so much potential. It's always the ones with so much potential, you know. So he's a good-looking guy, and, you know, I'm sorry, and, you know, I know his family is outrageous. But something's going to come of that. I just know. I just hope they charge this cop for murder because that's exactly what it is. I mean, anytime you shoot somebody who's unarmed, no matter what they're doing, even if they're doing something wrong, if they haven't got a gun, you don't pull out your gun and shoot them, especially if they're not shooting at you, especially in the city of Chicago. I mean, if he's not running at you with an axe, you don't shoot him. You know, you don't, if he's not trying to run you down in his car, you don't shoot him. If he's doing something illegal, you wrestle him down and you put the handcuffs on him, you take him to jail. You don't shoot him unless he's shooting at you. If he's not shooting at you, you don't shoot him. This is not the Wild Wild West. This is not the 1930s or 1920s or 30s around the time of Al Capone. I mean, this is Chicago, 2015. So I'm thinking something is going to come out of that. I'm thinking this cop's going to be tried for a murder, you know. And I'm just hoping that no riots occur because of this. We just have to see what happens and stay tuned for that. All righty. Donald Trump. They are trying to get rid of Donald Trump. They are trying to throw him out of the Republican Party, period. And I have to admit, the things that he said about this young lady, Megyn Kelly, from Fox News, cable television, some of it makes me cringe at some of the things he said. He said blood coming from her eyes, blood coming from her wherever, and we know what wherever is. Means now he's backing off that. He said he was just talking about her eyes. But why would you say blood is coming out of somebody's eyes in the first place? What? That's weird. That's strange. And then he goes on. This is his quote: "Blood coming out of her whatever." He said her whatever, and a lot of people took that as to mean she was on her period or something. Trump. Now he's trying, like I said before, now he's trying to walk those comments back because he knows that that stuff has endangered his campaign. But you know what? Trump and his war on women, he's just saying what the Republicans have been saying or have not said, you know. But now he's, one of the reasons why they're trying to get rid of him is because he's high in the polls, okay? And they don't want him. They don't like him. They feel that he is hurting the Republicans. They feel that he is hurting the Republicans. He is. I agree. He sure is. I'm not a Republican. I wouldn't dare call myself one of them. But he is hurting their brand. And there's no doubt about it. But for him to get out of the race, I think he should stay. I think he should stay in, because if he stays in, that, there may be a chance for Bernie Sanders. However, if Bernie doesn't get the nomination and Hillary gets the nomination, then, you know, we're just going to have to vote for Hillary, you know, put up with her and her Wall Street and corporations affiliations. So I hope Trump stays in. I really do hope he stays in. But, you know, I can understand if they kicked him out, though. If they threw him out of the group, I can understand. But he's backing off his comments. That was really, really nasty for him to say. I was starting to like the dude. I would never vote for him. I would never vote for him. But I was starting to like him because he was just so out there. And anything that came out of his mouth. I mean, now, because of this, they are going back in time. They're going back in the archives and pulling up everything that Donald Trump has said negative about women. And one of the things I can understand, why would he say so many negative things about women when he once had a beauty pageant, if he still has it? And, you know, and a beauty pageant is nothing but beautiful women on stage. And he just proves his dislike for women. And one report saying that he raped his wife or something, and she's denying it now. So I don't know. I'm just saying what, you know, some of these reports are saying. But I do know, and we do know, what we hear that's coming out of his mouth. So we can stay tuned for that, because I got a feeling Donald Trump is going to say a lot of more things. Or he just may cool down now. I mean, because this could really, really ruin him. But this is already said now. So the Republicans The Republicans and his opponents are going to use this. It's already there. He can apologize all he wants. It's there. It's public record. It's out there. You know, and Republicans and like, they're going to use it to try to knock him out of the race. And that's what they're trying to do now. They're not inviting him in certain places because of what he said. Donald Trump is no doubt a bully. He bullies people, and people bow down to him. He's used to that. He's used to bullying people. He's used to having people, you know, treating him like a king. He's used to it. And that's why he says some of the things he says, because now he's trying to bully the world, and it's not happening. It's not happening. He's a billionaire, but he's just a man. Okay, he's just a man, and he has full of flaws. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, having a great time on the radio, having a beautiful time on the radio. Glad you're with me. Glad you're out there. Stay with me. I'm going to take a break right here. Let me see if I can crank up something here. All righty. I will be right back. Stay with me. Stay there. We'll be right back. Hey, friends and fans, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing. It takes time, preparation, and dedication. And most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause. The cause of this show, my show, your show. This is the talk of our times. Thank you very much. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. Big George here. If you have a product or a book that you would like to have advertised on this show, hook me up. I will run two spots on this show for you every show date for a month for only $29.99 per month. My show is airing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 6 p.m., 90 minutes to 2 hours. Thanks a lot. All right, we're back. We're back, and we are glad to be back. It's just a great time. It's always a good news day, and that's why I always have things in the news or anything goes. That means that we can talk about anything we want, anything goes. It doesn't matter what we talk about. It doesn't have to be about a book or an excerpt or something like that, even though that's okay. That's cool. But anything goes within reason, okay? You know, I mean, I don't do erotica or any of that kind of thing, but, you know, within reason, anything goes. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I was just reading an article that Bernie Sanders was speaking at some rally, and he was interrupted by two people who claimed they were from an organization called Black Lives Matter. And I thought that was just uncool. I thought that was not right. I mean, you don't interrupt the guy. You don't walk up on stage. You don't take the mic from him and then, you know, start talking about your concerns and your issues. You have to be respectful. You got to be respectful. You just can't just Bernie Sanders is a cool guy. I mean, he will address your issues. If you got something you want to say, I mean, there's a way that you can say this without interrupting him, especially if a crowd of thousands of people. But you know what? That didn't seem to faze Bernie, because at the next stop, the next rally, he drew 15,000 people. So this was just like a blip in the sand for him. This was nothing. And maybe this was something that he probably expected, you know. So if you think about it, it was a good thing. It's a good thing because people keep coming and keep rallying at his side, and I'm hoping the guy gets the nomination. You know, I really do. His poll numbers are going up. Hillary's are going down. A lot of people are for Hillary. That's great. That's good. That's good for them. But I am... there's no doubt about it. I am a Bernie Sanders guy. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people are upset at me because of that, because I'm not in the realm for Hillary Clinton, you know. But let me say this. I've said this before. If she should win the nomination and Bernie does not win it, then we're going to support Hillary Clinton. Anybody would be better than a Republican. you know, I mean, I'm seriously saying that anybody but a Republican, seriously. And because these guys are, I don't know, these guys are backwards. I mean, I can still talk about that Thursday night debate for the Republicans, the Thursday night debate. There was 17 of them, and not one of them, and it was the debate was, I'm pretty sure there was two debates. There was one, I believe, around 5 o'clock, and there was one at 9 o'clock. And I think each debate lasted about 2 hours. So that's 4 hours for these guys on Thursday night, the Thursday, August 6th, where, as they said, Fox had 24 million viewers, okay? But that was 4 hours of Republicans talking. This is their first debate, but that was 4 hours, 2 hours each at two different times. That was a set of 7, and that was a set of 10, 17. And do you know, I've said this, I think, in two previous shows, my last two previous shows, they did not talk about families. They did not talk about income. They did not talk about making a better life for Americans, workers. They did not talk about the economy. They did not talk about race relations. They did not talk about voting rights, because they're trying to suppress the vote to keep you from voting so they can stay in office. They did not talk about fixing our streets, our roads, and our bridges. They did not talk about a jobs program, putting people to work, paying them a decent, livable wage. They did not talk about college debt. People are still working, but they're still, you know, in deep debt, paying off college, working at a job that they did not major in. So these guys got a long way to go. They did not give plans, or they did not talk about fixing anything. 4 hours on television, and they did not talk about nothing. I've said this before. Okay, here's something. Okay, it was predictable. No solutions or anything. Most of all, there was no talk about gun control. They didn't talk about nothing. They revved up their profile, but they didn't talk about anything. 17 Republicans, 2 hours each, and nothing came out of it. But yet, there was 24 million people, maybe around the world, who watched this first Republican, conservative, GOP debate on Fox Cable News. I say, but I've always said this, and I've said this morning, there may have been 24 million people watching Fox News during that Republican debate, but all those 24 million people who watched Fox News did not agree with much of anything that they've heard. A lot of them were just pissed off at the lies, the spin, the garbage that was coming off that stage. They were. I mean, you had 24 million people. That's great. But everybody didn't agree. Everybody thought it was garbage. And because these guys didn't say anything. They did not say anything. They didn't say anything about gun control. And we need gun control because people are gunning each other down in droves. We got people carrying guns. You're walking down the street, you don't know who's carrying a gun. You don't know who's got a gun. Because most people have concealed and carry, so if they have a gun, they're going to conceal it inside of their shirt or their jacket or down their pants, carrying guns. And some unstable people are carrying guns. I mean, people are walking into the theater. Bad guys are walking into theaters and shooting up the theaters, pepper spraying the theater. Makes you wonder if you want to go to another movie or not. You never know what's going to happen. It should be something said about gun control. Nothing. They said nothing. Republicans don't say anything about anything. So why put one of these guys in office? They're just going to wreck the country. They're buffoons. They're idiots. They didn't say anything. They were up there looking good. Mike Huckabee was ridiculous. Scott Walker, a puppet. He was controlled. He's bought off. He's a puppet of the Koch brothers. Make sure he doesn't say anything to offend those guys. There was nothing said about the economy. And without an economy, you know, it's just really, really bad. It's tanking. You know, nothing on voting rights. Of course, there's nothing on voting rights. They don't want you to vote in the first place. So why would they say anything about voting rights? Right? But that's something we have to do. If you want to take this country back, and we want to take this country back, you've got to get out there and vote. That's how you do things. There's no other way. You have to get out there and vote. If you don't vote, every no vote that you do not vote is a vote for the bad guy, is a vote for a Republican. I think if a lot of people gotten out and voted last November, we would have a different outcome. We would not have Rauner, and this state would not be shut down or at an impasse or without a budget. We have got to do something. We've got to vote. You want to take the country back, or the Republicans are going to take you back? You have to get out there and do it. You have to. It is too many people out here who are poor, too many people out here who are homeless, too many people out here who are working and getting nowhere. Too many people out here with jobs pay them enough money to get them an apartment because the rent is too high. So they're working every day, every night, and when they get off work, they're going straight to a shelter, a crowded shelter with 1,000 other people. Even though they're working, and I'm pretty sure they got to give half that money that they're making to the shelter, because the shelter is not going to let you stay there free if they know that you have an income. What are these politicians for? What are they good for if they can't help the people? The government is supposed to be for the people, by the people, and to help the people. But not the Republicans. I don't know where this crop of Republicans came from. I don't know. Out of somebody's ass? I don't know where these crop of Republicans came from, because these are the most vilest, lyingest, spinningest Republicans you or I can ever imagine. They just don't give a damn. Oh, they're going to say they do. They're going to say, I care, we care. What they care about is getting your vote and getting into office, and then once they get into office, they're going to screw you. That's all it's about, is screwing you. And some Republicans are just, I mean, some of them are just blatant. They'll tell you straight out, you ain't going to get nothing. I'm not going to do nothing for you. They will tell you straight out. And then you feel like a big ass because you went out and voted for this guy. You got to stop voting for people who look good. You got to stop voting for people who are cute. You got to stop voting for people who have nice-sounding names. You got to stop voting for people who promise you the world for your vote. They are not for you. They, once they get your vote, they're thinking about one thing probably, getting reelected, and maybe another thing, getting rich and lying to you so you can keep putting them back in office. Wake up. You have to wake up. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. You can follow me on Block Talk Radio, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. 347-857, I think I forgot the phone number. 347-857-1762. All right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll be right back with Chef, obviously the guy's a cook. Chef Timothy Moore talks about diabetes and the right foods. Okay, we'll be right back. Stay with me if I can clip it up. Let's see. All right, here we go. This one is It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right, I found a smart quiz question, and it's a pretty easy one. It's basically from the Constitution, and are you reading about the Constitution? And, you know, it's a great question. Let me put it out there. The smart quiz question for today is, where was the Constitution written? Okay? Where was the Constitution written? All right, think about that. If you don't know the answer, if you can't find it, if you can't, don't have time to research it, I will have the answer by the end of the show. So let me get started with Chef Timothy Moore. He's talking about reversing diabetes and how he came to learn that he had diabetes. Okay, here we go. All right.
Hi, I'm Chef Dr. Timothy Moore. Now, a lot of people have asked me, who are you? What are you really about? My mission is to help people with diabetes. And since obesity now has become an epidemic and it's become a medical diagnosis, where now they can say you're obese medically, and now it has changed the scope of everything. But my story, when I think about myself, is I can remember just being like everybody else, normal, playing football, good shape, no weight problem. But somewhere in my life, around 25, I was pretty good shape still. And I was at a stoplight one day, and everything went upside down. My childhood was normal, no problems with diabetes and things like that. But at this stoplight, I told my buddy that we was driving. I said, I'm the one that's driving. And I said, we're upside down. And my friend looked at me like I had lost my mind. Said, what do you mean we're upside down? We were upside down in this pickup. And I was driving, and I said, something's wrong. So we kind of pulled to the side. And in that city we was in, we found a clinic, and I didn't know about diabetes. So they asked me. I had to close my eyes. He had to lead me like I was blind, y'all. He led me. And we went to the clinic, and they told him I was seeing things upside down. And basically, they come back in, and luckily the doctor kind of had an idea of what was going on, and he said, well, let's check your blood sugar. And I'm like, my blood sugar? What do you mean? I just ate some sugar, but I ain't never checked my blood sugar. Because you got to understand, back in my time, they didn't talk about diabetes. They call it the sugar. And they would say Uncle June or Aunt Susie or somebody just has the sugar. They didn't really go into it that there was a problem that we had to change. Well, sure enough, they went back, and mine was 500 off the scale. As far as this reader with me, he couldn't really tell, but he knew it was high. So they said, well, we got to let you sit out at the front, or we're going to give you this shot. And that's what they did. They gave me a shot. I didn't know what it was. I'm like everybody else thinking, hey, give it to me. They gave me a shot, and it took my sugar down about 150 points to about 200 points, really, in about an hour, hour and a half. And also my eyesight came back to normal. And he told me stay away from fried foods that day and stay away from any more sugars. And because at that time, we had just ate. I'll never forget this. I had a soda that was 24 ounces of sugar. And at that time, I didn't know 45 grams of it was all sugar. Then they had this chicken meal. Then we had these biscuits. Then we have this other sweet tea. Then we had this coleslaw. I'm just telling you, that's what I was going through at that time. I don't know if you've ever been there, but this was me. So I got back the next morning to my personal family doctor. My sugar was about 225, and that's where my story begins. And he educated me. He said, well, I'm going to give you this pill. This is education. And just come see me a month from now, and hopefully this pill will do what it needs to do. Did not talk about weight loss. Did not talk about nutrition, but God had a blessing, a ram in my bush. Next door to my doctor's office was a chiropractor. Now, at that time in my life, the chiropractor was called quacks. Never forget the young man's name. His name was Dr. Lloyd Dudelute. That's his name. And he said, young blood, come over here. I want to talk to you about something, because that doctor is not really going to get you well from diabetes. He said, you're taking that pill, right? Yes, sir. So he said, if your blood sugar is down next month, don't come see me. But if it's where it is today or higher, come see me. I want to talk to you about it. So, you know, I'm thinking that guy don't know nothing. My doctor knows everything. Sure enough, my blood sugar was up more. So now I went from that little half a tablet to a whole tablet of diabetic medication. And it was glucagon. Never forget it. So the chiropractor or the guy next door got to educate me on nutrition first. He said, let me talk about nutrition. And some of the foods he was talking about, I'm going to be honest, I'm from the South Southern boy. taking some of the food he took from me, I was crying. I was kind of hostile. I just like giving up the world. You mean I can't have ribs? I can't have fried fish? I can't have hot wings? I can't have cornbread? I can't have the things that I was used to eating. Now, I know somebody said, what, man, please? Understand, I didn't understand blood sugar. All I knew, it scared me to death. So he educated me. So we went from 10 minutes to about 4 hours. Then the next time I came back to my doctor's office, my doctor said, yeah, your blood sugar is stable, but it's still about right at 250, 300. Stable? That's what stable, 250, 300? That's what he told me, it was stable. Well, you know how life goes. We become bulletproof and we think, I got this under control. Well, you know what? I didn't have it under control. So a couple years later, it really got bad. Then I ballooned from that nice, small, petite, six-pack waist to about 360 pounds. I went to about a 50, 52-inch waist. And my doctor at that time put me on insulin. Then he doubled it to 2 shots a day. Then he gave me 1,000 milligrams of glucophage twice a day. He was giving me some for cholesterol, high blood pressure. And I'm still eating my diet, my junk, every day, thinking, hey, it's not going to be a problem. And the chiropractor guy told me, hey, young blood, you're going to have to stop that. So he sat me down one day and just really made me realize what my future was going to be like. And he asked me, never forget it, did you want to live to 35 years old? Because the path you're heading, you're not going to make it. Even taking the medication. See, the medication misleads us because it pacifies it. It hides the situation. And we're able to go on about life. And we'll deal with the little foot pain. We'll deal with the neuropathy in our legs and feet. We'll deal with the tingling in the hands. We'll deal with the blindness, because the blurred vision. Because we know what I did. I kept getting new glasses. So my doctor said, hey, let's check your blood sugar. Let's see about getting a new prescription. And I kept getting prescriptions. I felt like Fred Sanford. You ever see Fred Sanford and he had a drawer full of glasses? I was that guy. I had all those glasses trying to find which pair was going to fit today. But I had to make a decision, and I'll never forget it. I used to travel a lot, and I could go from one city to the next city eating a bucket of chicken and drinking all kind of liquids, and a six-pack of Coke was nothing to drink, because there's a 20-ounce six-pack or a liter and give me ice. I thought it was normal, but I was killing myself. I was causing me all kind of problems. Then I remember sitting down one day to my mother, and my mother just was my best friend, and I said, I'm not going to make it to 35. And she said, can't you stop what you're doing? Aren't you in control? And I said, yes, but no. She said, aren't you in control? See, I had to realize, and sometimes we have to realize, and you have to realize like I had to realize, you are really in control of what you put in your mouth. I had to realize it wasn't about my friends, my buddies, and the people that I was acquainted with thinking that I had to have this status symbol of eating what they eat. I had to make some changes. And God, did it change not just my world. It changed my life. Because I changed everything. And now me, I went cold turkey as a plant-based eater. I literally gave up everything with an animal face on it. Any dairy, any eggs, any soy, any salt, any sugar, because I was tired of looking like I looked. And the thing about it is, nobody at that time ever told me, Tim, you fat. I was just accepted. Like some of us, we just accept it. People don't want to hurt our feelings. But sometimes it takes our feelings to be hurt for us to realize we got an issue going on here. And if somebody would have told me, hey, man, you fat, or you got a health issue, because they make it today as it's the norm. It's all right to be healthy. It's all right to be big-boned. It's all right to be swole. But you know what? Let me educate you. I learned real fast that the skinny person just as diabetic as me. And it wasn't about my weight, but it didn't help. It was the lifestyle that I was living. The food, the jug, I was the life of the party. I always had the food. I always cooked. I always made these great dishes that I saw that I could make, and I made them. And did not think about calories, sugar, carbs. Didn't think about processed anything. Didn't know. But when I learned that I could control my life, when I learned that I could grab me back, that I can didn't have to walk outside with a folding chair. Now, y'all listen to this. I had a folding chair that I had to walk to the mailbox with because I was out of breath all the time. I didn't go up anybody's stairs. I bought shoes only that I could put a thing in where I could slip them on. Never bought a tie shoe. And I had no breath. I was the couch potato. I sit on the potato or drove the car, didn't go anywhere like some of us do. The store is a block away. We can walk, but what do? We jump in the automobile, we go to the store. Well, sometimes we got to learn how to exercise, change what we're doing. And as a diabetic educator, I had to learn this. And I learned, number one, because I remember telling my doctor before I started changing, and he literally told me to leave the chiropractor alone. He told me it was a quack food. That's what he told me. But I listened to that chiropractor, and it made sense. I started going back to school and learning what they didn't want me to learn as far as nutrition. Oh, my God, when I started learning about what nutrition really was, really understand how much fat and oil and butter and all the junk that I was eating. And the really bad thing about it is everybody I asked about it, oh, that little bit won't hurt. That's what they told me. That little bit won't cause you any problem. Man, just eat it, enjoy it. Don't worry about it. Well, let me educate you. That little bit almost killed me. It really did. It dramatically caused me problems. And I had to change my life. And when I say I went cold turkey, I did. And you know what? I lost a lot of friends when I changed that diet. Because I wasn't in the mix no more. I wasn't in the coolness no more. I wasn't in the click no more. You know what? I don't care about the click anymore. I didn't care. Because what I start realizing in about 30 days, in about 15 days, my eyes started going crazy because it was adjusting because of my blood sugar was going down. The food that I was eating, the plant-based, the greens and the salads and the legumes and the beans and the rice, you know, it was amazing how my blood sugar just changed overnight. Then it's also amazing how my stomach, that I couldn't even see my shoes at the time, was that big. I didn't know I had feet, even though I really did, but I couldn't see them. Some of us, just like me, you couldn't see down there, but they're there. And all of a sudden, the stomach started disappearing. And I said, wait a minute, this weight's coming off of me. And everything started to change, the weight, the clothes, and all that. Now, I kept my clothes for a while. Today, just to the point, people say, man, buy some clothes. Your clothes is hanging off. You know, you can only pull a pair of pants so far. You can only snug a jacket so far. You can only push a shirt in the back so far. So I went and bought a couple pair of pants and a couple of shirts, just some basics, because I didn't want to spend a lot of money on clothes until I got to where I wanted to get. But now, what I had to do, now what a lot of us don't do, I had to call Goodwill. Yeah, I did. And I told them about all these clothes I had hung in my closet, and I need you to bring some guys to come take them all out so I won't go back. Now, remember this. If you don't get rid of the clothes you're hoarding in your house and you're trying to get your weight under control, a lot of us won't get rid of that favorite dress, that favorite blouse, that favorite shirt, that favorite suit, that favorite sweater, because hopefully one day maybe we'll get back to it. I got rid of all them clothes. Because even the guy that was doing my suits, I never forget the tailor, I went and saw him, he said, I thought I need a couple suits cut different. And he said, I asked him a question, why did you tell me that I was fat? He said, man, look, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a businessman. And you know how they say, I'm a businessman, and I make more money by the yard. So why was I going to tell you to lose weight? The more yards you make, the more money I make. I was like, wow. And then when I could go buy a pair of pants for three times the price less than I was already spending, wait a minute, everything started to change. But the thing about it is, I could walk to my mailbox, I could go upstairs, and I could run upstairs because I incorporated exercise, meditation, yoga. Oh, I remember my first yoga class. I thought I was going to pull a muscle. I thought I was going to die. And what I didn't realize, it was advanced, but a little more advanced than I was ready for. So if you're going to do yoga and you've never done it, do a basic class. Ask them about the basic new beginner. And once I realized the basic new beginner class, it was a piece of cake. Now, how long did it take me to get over my food addiction? You know, it took about 4 or 5 months for my body to totally change. Now, my taste buds changed about 2 to 3 weeks, totally changed. And the thing that really got me, one day I wanted an apple. Now, I haven't eaten an apple in about a month or two, and I've bit into this apple. Now, take in consideration, my taste buds had totally changed. And I didn't realize all this at the time, what was really going on. I bit into that apple, and I thought I hit the lottery. That apple was the best tasting apple I've ever eaten in my life. It was just a normal apple. But because my taste buds and my palate was clean from not eating all that junk and sugar and oils and all that flour and all that butter and all them creams and all that stuff, man, it's amazing. And when I made those changes, I'll never forget, my sister came up to me and said, "Timothy, I want to know something. Are you sick? Do you have cancer? Is there something wrong with you?" And I said, "Why are you asking me that question?" She said, "Because it's not normal for someone to lose that kind of weight." I took it oatmeal. It took me over 15 months to lose it. So it wasn't like I just fell off. But she was more concerned about me having cancer. But when I was fat, it was all right. Because, "Oh, it was fat. We know you just Big Tim." Wait a minute. I don't want to be known as Big Tim. I want to be known as Healthy Tim. And when I got that under control, it was amazing how I started to feel, how I started to look about myself, how I didn't mind going to my kitchen and learn how to cook food different. 15, 20-minute greens. 20 minutes. Black beans, how to soak them, how to make them, how to eat a healthy salad, make it from scratch. It didn't take long. And the thing about it is, I actually saved money by eating healthy. Man, what a blessing that was. So now as I lecture and travel around, and I don't know what you're going through, I don't know what you're feeling, but I had to change for me. And you got to change for you. So someone was telling me, like, they told me it don't take all this. Well, for them, it might not. For me, it took that and a little more, because I wanted, guess what? I wanted my life back. I wanted to be Tim again. I wanted to be joking. Think about it else, too. When I changed, it was amazing. I was in this corporate world thing, and stiff shirts and starches and all that. And when people really got to know me again, they say, "Wait, what happened to the other guy?" You know what? The personality changed. I didn't care about trying to be in the cliques anymore. Nothing helped me but understanding my diabetes and getting my life back. I didn't have high blood pressure, so like that. They was giving medication for it, but I wasn't on it. They said it was offset the other drugs. And sometimes we look at life totally strange, and I looked at it like a blessing. So I got off medication. I never get my doctor when they did my A1C, and my numbers was great. And he said, "Man, how'd you do that?" And when I told him, he didn't want to hear it. So when you tell somebody sometimes how you're winning the battle, don't get discouraged because they don't want to hear it. Find your tribe of people that don't mind doing what you do. And it's a one-step process, because everybody can't go cold turkey. When I'm working in corporations and they're trying to figure out what management about the stress, I look at the food. What about the food? What food items are you eating that could be causing you to be stressful? What are you looking at? Are you diabetic? You know, if a person's angry all the time or always arguing, always got an attitude, sometimes I have to ask, "Are you diabetic?" Because they might not know. Remember, it's a percentage of the population don't really know they're diabetic. You know, when I wrote my book, 47 Tips for Reverse Diabetes, at that moment, there was 79 million pre-diabetics. Now there's 91 million pre-diabetics. Wow. Now there's about 26, 27 million known diabetics, and there's a great part of the population don't even know they are diabetic. But my question is for you today, are you a diabetic? Do you want to get over being diabetes? Because I had to win that battle. I had to get my life back. And it's amazing to go from a 52-inch waist to a 32, 34-inch waist and be able to get in clothes but feel great about myself, to have my life back. And when I'm working with individuals, corporations, and individuals about their life, about, you know, we don't have to live like this. We have to make some mental challenges on making you mental tough. And not just losing the weight, but the mental toughness affects you as your job, your career, your outcome, what you want to do in life. And it makes you, guess what, a better person all the way around the scope. So as I think about what I had to go through, can you do it? You bet. Can you feel better about yourself? You bet. Hey, you don't have to go cold turkey like I did, but I wanted my life back. I was tired of walking on eggshells. I was tired of taking those shots every day. I was tired of taking a handful of pills every day. I was tired not wanting to do what I needed to do. I was tired having to sit up on the TV because it was so blurry, I had to get close to it. I was tired of making excuses of not having a good life. Are you that individual? Hey, let's change it. Diabetes awareness. Diabetes reversal. Diabetes prevention. There's too many medical doctors that believe in what I'm talking about. The American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, and the CDC all talks about vegan vegetarian lifestyle, how a plant-based lifestyle can really help your life, help you prevent, reverse, and take care of diabetes, and also eliminate it. So if you're tired of shaking shots, if you're tired of having a pump on the side, if you're tired of taking 15 to 30 pills a day, if you're tired of just who you looking in the mirror and don't like, let's change it. Because you can be like me. We can change it today. Hey, this is Chef Dr. Timothy Moore. This is my story. My story is to help you possibly get off of medication. But if you do me a favor, the link below, sign into the...
All right. Okay.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
Yeah, that was Dr. Timothy Moore talking about diabetes. The guy is very passionate, and that's what I liked about it. He is very passionate. He said he was 360 pounds. He's right. Everybody cannot go cold turkey, or in other words, everybody cannot fast. Fasting is the quickest way of ridding yourself of diabetes, not eating at all, period. And not eating at all is one way where your body throws out the insulin in your body that's causing you diabetes. Remember, when you're getting medication, prescription pills from the doctor, those pills, that medication for your diabetes is treating the symptoms of the diabetes. The medication is not treating the diabetes itself. So you got the symptoms of the diabetes, and you got the diabetes itself. You got two things. And what you really want to do, you don't want to keep treating the symptoms of diabetes. You want to eradicate and reverse the diabetes itself. Because if you keep on treating the symptoms of diabetes, you're going to be taking medication for the rest of your life. And you have to remember one thing. Doctors are in it for making money. The more medication you buy, the more money in their pocket. They hope that you never, ever reverse your diet. Some doctors, you got some rogue doctors or some radical doctors who really want you to keep buying medication because it's money in their pocket. They want to get paid. They're not going to tell you too much about how you can actually reverse diabetes. And it is possible. It can be done. It has been done. But a lot of people, like I said, cannot go cold turkey or fast. So you have to eat something. You have to have something to eat. But if you eat, you know, change your diet. Change what you've been eating. Change what you've been eating that's given you the diabetes in the first place. Then, yeah, you got to change your diet drastically. Eat less food. And when you do eat fruits, vegetables, if you're going to eat meat, eat lean meats, protein, beans, soy, you know, and choose small amounts. Try not to use big amounts. Change your diet. Change what you've been eating. You cannot go out there and get ice cream, cakes, cookies, candy. That's out. That sounds good. That's making me hungry, kind of. Donuts, candy bars, you know, fried chicken, barbecue, greasy barbecue. You have to change your diet because that's why you're sick in the first place. Not eating right causes cancer, heart attacks, strokes, especially if you're not active and you're not active. You have to change your diet. It can be done. It can be done, but you have to kind of keep your doctor in check, because most doctors want to see you eradicate diabetes. Then some doctors, some hospitals, you know, they pushing money under the table to the drug companies. You know, they want you to, I mean, the drug industry is a $1 trillion industry to keep you on medication. And a lot of that medication is worse than the sickness, can be worse than the disease with all those side effects. You ever watch one of these drug commercials on television? They talk more about the side effects than the benefits of the drug itself. It's true. It's true. And some doctors want you to keep coming. I mean, there's doctors who say, don't eat fat. Then there's doctors who say, hey, eat all the fat you want to. Just stay away from the carbohydrates. You know? But you don't eat all the fat you want to. You can eat fat. And some doctors say you can eat gluten. Gluten is just what? You find gluten in what? Cookies, cakes, donuts. But eat at a moderation. Moderation. It takes moderation for anything. You can get rid of diabetes. I just feel like I'm on a mission. This is probably the fourth or fifth show that I've done on diabetes. And I'm always going to do something on diabetes because there's too many people out here with it. And there's too many people dying from it who they don't have to die from it. You know, they just have to, and you know what? It's hard trying to change your diet. It's tough. A lot of people, it's tough. This guy talked about 4 or 5 weeks, 4 or 5 months. You can reverse it you can reverse diabetes in 2 weeks. But you have to do drastic things to do it. I'm going to go as far as say 3 weeks. You can reverse it. But, you know, a lot of people cannot fast. So you have to just stay away from the food that's causing you problems and deal with the food that's going to better your outlook, better your body, your life, you know. So we're talking about type 2 diabetes here. If anybody, type 1 is another type of diabetes, but some of them, but, you know, both types, from my understanding, you cannot cure type 1 diabetes. So that's something we're going to have to cover in the shows that are coming ahead, type 1 diabetes. But we're talking about type 2 people who are 40 and over, 50 and over, type and overweight slightly, you know. So that's coming up. But always be aware you fight this disease, diabetes type 2, you fight it with food, not medication. Okay, in some cases, we're going to need medication. People are going to need medication. But that's only if it's severe enough to almost, you know, take your life or have your foot cut off or something or other, pricking your fingers or something. You're going to need it. But insulin, in some cases, make you fat. Okay? Insulin, because the doctor says, well, take this medicine, and when you take it, make sure you eat before taking it or eat while you're taking it to try to stave off some of the side effects. So some medication make you fat, you know, because you have to eat every time you take it. And the doctor say, well, take it 3 times a day. That means you got to eat 3 times a day. If you have to take it 4 times a day, you got to eat 4 times a day. So actually the medication is making you fat because it's making you eat more. It's making you eat. because you have to eat more when you take medication, or the side effects may kill you in itself if you don't take medication, if you don't eat. And there are so many doctors, there's so many people out there say, hey, wow, do what your doctors say. Follow your doctor's advice. But doctors are only human. They can make mistakes too. They like money too, okay? I have nothing against doctors, but I do know that the a lot of people also know that the medical industry makes zillions of dollars off you, I, and those people over there that's going to the doctor and he's writing those prescriptions, you know, and getting you that medication that costs money, and that goes into his pocket. It spreads all around, you know. So I'm not saying do not listen to your doctor. I'm just saying listen to your doctor, but get two or three other opinions on your condition. You can go right to the internet. Doctors are right there on the internet. You got websites. And you can learn a lot about what you have, your disease, and how to treat it and how best to treat it. Do not stick with one diagnosis. Get you three or four diagnoses. Research and study what kind of disease that you have. Is it reversible? What do I need to do to make myself better? Because as long as you're above ground, there's always a chance of surviving whatever you might have. Always, always get two or three opinions on anything. You don't have to spend money, to gas money or train fare or subway money. Go right to your computer. If you don't have a computer, go to your nearest library. There's free computers at the library. You can use them. I think it's an hour or 2 hours a day or something like that. You can use a computer at the library. I mean, and you don't even really need the internet. I mean, you don't have to pay for the internet. There's so many places around here with Wi-Fi, coffee shops, libraries, other public places might have Wi-Fi. So that way you won't have that much of an expense. And you probably will have no excuse, you know, researching and digging up more information on the disease that is plaguing your body. Get better. You want to get better, you know. It's not that I'm saying do not trust your doctor. Just get some more advice, okay? And if it all comes up the same as your doctor say, you have no problem. But at least it'll be off your mind that you did go and, you know, research it and find other avenues to try to find you what is plaguing you and how you can deal with it and what best way to deal with it. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I hope that helped you a lot. And like I said before, in the coming weeks, months, I will have more on this. And that was a great clip. I applaud him for that. And he was so passionate, and he was so real, and he was so true. And if you think about it, he, like so many others, are trying to help people out here with the same disease that he has, diabetes. Okay, diabetes is not a death sentence. Don't ever think that, especially type 2. Diabetes is not a death sentence, but it will be a death sentence if you don't get it under control. It will kill you if you do not get it under control. And it's so easy to get it under control. Change your diet. Exercise more, take in less carbs, take in no carbs, or take in less carbs, because carbohydrates is the culprit. That's the culprit, not fat. Carbohydrates. Well, those people, well, we're getting rid of trans fats, we're going to get rid of saturated fat. No one says they're going to get rid of carbohydrates, and carbohydrates is the killer. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I see I have about 3 more minutes left into the show. Let's see what we can dig out and talk about. All right? Okay. All right. Okay. Smart quiz question. Where was the Constitution written? That should be pretty easy for a lot of people. If you don't know, I should have it in about a few minutes. Maybe a minute or so, because we're going to be off the air. And it's been great. Like I said before, at the beginning of the show, it's my anniversary. August is my anniversary. My anniversary means I've been on the show for 1 year. And I've done about 120 episodes, I believe, so far, or 119. It's close anyway, somewhere in there. And it's been wonderful. It's been great. I want to thank my special guest yesterday, Sabrina Frazier. She was just great. She was marvelous. I'm pretty sure she'll be back on the show. Maybe I should make her a regular. She's very, very, very knowledgeable on whatever she's talking about. So this is, all right, hold on. Let's hope that sometimes it feels like the computer, the internet is going to go down on me. And a lot of times it does. It does. And this is internet radio. So you can, when you're on internet radio, you can almost expect anything. And the computers have gone down on me. Even when I've had guests on the show, the computer, oh my God. And you know what? The guests themselves do not even know that the computer has gone down. Click right back into the show. You know, once the computer comes up and the guest is still talking, but that's my little secret. Don't tell anybody. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I was just told in my ear that there is about 90 seconds left into this show. Yeah. Show. Like I said before, the Republicans, let me see, don't go down on me. The Republicans did not talk about families. They did not talk about income. They did not talk about the economy, infrastructure, job programs. Maybe in the second debate that's coming up, I believe, and I can't think of October, maybe they'll talk about it. I don't know. But I'm talking about the Republicans that were on Fox August 6th. That didn't talk about a lot of things, and they had all the time in the world to talk about it. They were just, you know, crazy. And Ben Carson, this guy is just wow. I'm going to talk about him next week. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr.'s show. I'm signing off. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for podcasting, downloading this show. Thank you for being a part of the show. I've got to go. I'll see you guys next time. Take care. Bye-bye.